Listen in tomorrow. Many of us sure did just that during the early days of radio. Here are some of the personalities you might have heard from 1932 until 1939.
Yes, I ought to have a real good time.
Glorious time.
I'm all dressed up, of course.
Yes, indeed.
A leather necktie. Regulation police, double strength suspenders.
Good solid snaps.
Sleeve garters.
They snap nice also.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is yours very truly, Little Jack Little.
Mr. Fields, Charlie wants to say something to you.
Yes.
Oh.
Hello, Mr. Fields.
Hello, blood poison.
That's me, Groucho Marx.
Of time.
Oh, I know where my baton is. It's right here in the hall of
fame. Oh, no, McGee, please, not on Sunday. Don't you... Oh,
my God.
Delta, and now the time has come to lend thine ears to au revoir pleasantry. Au revoir pleasantry. Think of us when requesting the fee. Until next Tuesday, when possibly you all may tune in again. Keep the old maestro always in your seat. Yelza. Au revoir. This is Ben Burney, ladies and gentlemen, and all the lads, wishing you a bit of pleasant rear. May good luck and happiness, success, good health, good cheer, and you see. And now, we've got to leave you here. Au revoir, a palm cheerio, a toodle-doodle, a bit of a tweet-tweet. God love you, and pleasant year.
Now, once again, here's that quiz program that made us all feel like some kind of genius. It pays to be ignorant.
What is alimony?
Alimony is when two people make a mistake and the other continues to pay for it.
Correct. Pay that man $8. What does a bee get in flowers?
It's head and shoulders.
Correct. Pay the man $9 because...
It pays to be ignorant. This is Ken Roberts. Johnny presents that quip happy quiz program you hear regularly over CBS on Friday nights. The program that has set education back 2,000 years. It pays to be ignorant. Our board of experts consists of George Sheldon, Harry McNorton, Lulu McConnell, who are so dumb they think astronomy is something you put in a sandwich. And now I give you the star of our show, Mr. Tom Howard.
Afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The first question before our board of ex-jerks, I should mean experts, concerns radio. Here is the question.
Yeah.
What major network is recognized by the letter CBS?
Mr. Howard, would you mind repeating the question?
I'd be glad to. What major radio network is recognized by the letter CBS?
Mr. Howard, what do the letters stand for?
That's what I'm trying to find out.
Well, why don't you call up the radio station that used those letters and ask them?
Oh, I see. Mr. Shelton, you took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah? If you'd been a little quicker, you'd taken my teeth, too.
Mr. Sheldon, do you know anything about radio?
What do you mean? I was on the radio last night. I was on the program with a beautiful blonde, but I got Mike fright.
You got Mike fright?
Mike was her husband.
The Breakfast Club was one of the first programs broadcast coast to coast in the USA. The program was originally entitled The Pepper Pot, but on June 23, 1933, Don McNeil became the master of ceremonies and the program became The Breakfast Club. Now, here's an excerpt from one of the early Breakfast Club programs.
Time to join the millions of families from coast to coast and listen to America's favorite, the American Broadcasting Company's Breakfast Club with Don McNeil.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning to you. We woke up bright and early, just a howdy do you.
coffee's on, the cereal, the bacon, and the skillet. Eddie Valentine and his boys have tunes to fill it. So come on, gang, let's take a poll of this day's meeting. Line up, kids, I'll call the roll and sing your greeting. Nancy Martin.
Well, how do you do?
And Jack Owen.
Glad to see you.
Sam and the Vagabonds are here today.
The Breakfast Club, keep on smiling out there. The Breakfast Club is on the air.
Good morning to you. Mighty glad to see you around the breakfast table of the air today. Today is Thursday, the 29th day of November, 1945. We're almost ready to get rid of November now.
If Don McNeil was popular with his Breakfast Club program in Chicago, then Tom Brenneman was equally as popular with his morning breakfast show broadcast from the West Coast. Originally Breakfast at Sardi's and later renamed Breakfast in Hollywood, boy, they had women lined up at 5 a.m. in the morning just to get in.
Tom Brenneman's on Vine Street between Hollywood and Sunset Boulevard. Kellogg's, Pep, and Procter & Gamble's Ivory Flakes serve you breakfast in Hollywood. Friends, next week our old maestro starts his big trek across the country, which is a good trek if he can do it. With the release of his picture, Breakfast in Hollywood, he's off again on his travels. In fact, he says this time he would like to girdle the globe. Here he is now, and if you could just see him, or see his globe, you'd realize that it needs a girdle. Here he is, Tom Brenneman.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
And how do you out there along the network party line? Greetings from the ladies having breakfast in Hollywood. A radio program that emanates from the Brenneman Beanery along about this time, Mondays through Fridays. It's special lower wing to you fellas confined to sick quarters, too, in Uncle Sam's hospitals. From coast to coast, wherever you may be listening. We're sorry we can't send you some of this grand California sunshine. Well, we're getting plenty of it these days, and you know it. That's right. That's about all the weather report we need this morning. Truly, the days out here the last couple of weeks of what I like to call Don McNeil days. Balmy. We're going to visit a little bit. What in the world is wrong with you?
Who are you, sir?
W.W. Undercoffler.
Undercoffler?
Yes, sir.
Looks like an undertaker sitting there.
During the late 1940s, one of the radio shows stood out as the granddaddy of all musical quiz shows. The program was Stop the Music. It was heard every Sunday night. Now, in this program, musical selections were played, and then telephone calls to listeners were made all through the United States. From its first broadcast, Well, Stop the Music was an immediate success. So much so, matter of fact, that Fred Allen, who's on at the same time, guaranteed $5,000 in cash to anybody who was telephoned by Stop the Music at the same time that they were listening to his show. Naturally, it's just my luck they called when I wasn't home.
The music! Hello, America. This is Greg Parks calling, inviting you to play Stop the Music, ABC's national Sunday night game for the whole family. Songs, excitement, prizes, and surprises. Tonight are again our exciting Stop the Music bonus, so get ready, set. Here we go till we stop the music.
For you to taunt me, how can you make me care this way? La-dee-da-dum, for you to want me, if it's just for a day. La-dee-da-dum, for you to thrill me, why do you do the things you do?
Stop the music!
Oh, operator!
Where to, please? We're calling Mount Vernon, New York, all right? And who are we going to talk to at Mount Vernon, please? Mr. Samuel Bunnell, all right? Hello, Sam. Well, how are you tonight? What's the name of the song Dick was just singing, do you know?
Now, Stop the Music was the most popular musical quiz show, then Truth or Consequences was the most popular audience participation show. This is another twist on the old parlay game, and it was brought to radio for the first time March 23rd, 1940, by Ralph Edwards. And now, more than 30 years later, it still continues on TV with Bob Barker. Now, here's an excerpt from the June 23rd, 1945 radio show with old Ralph Edwards.
Hello there. We've been waiting for you. It's time to play Truth or Consequences. Yes, Truth or Consequences, the game that does everything on the air. And here
Here he is, winner of the Eisenhower Award for Bond Sales and the Meringue Pie Award for Lemon Sales, your truth or lots of nonsense's man, Ralph Edwards.
Thank you very much. Bob Williams bringing fiery colors from beautiful San Francisco, California, where Truth or Consequences is broadcasting two big E-Bond shows tonight in the San Francisco Civic Auditorium. And our Truth or Consequences total in this seventh war alone is now over $13 million, thanks to San Francisco and a whole lot of other swell California cities. Monday night, we'll be in Stockton, California. See you in Stockton Monday, Tuesday in Oakland. Ah, boy, the old hometown, Tuesday. And next week in Los Angeles, buy an E and see T or C. By the way, hello, what is your name?
Miss Letter.
Hello, Miss Letter. We must... What is it? Give the names of at least five married couples in the comic strips. Truth or Consequences. Miss Letter. Are you...
Oh, no.
Bueller. That's Bueller, you see.
Oh, is this? Hello, Bueller.
Yeah. Bueller say, answer back. Answer back.
Yes. Hello, Bueller.
Yes, she has a frog voice tonight. All right, the names of at least five married couples in the comic strip. Maggie and Jiggs, Dagwood and Blondie, Emmy and Lord... Plushbottom, Lucifer and Pansy, Yoakum, Samuel, Susie Perkins, Min and Andy Guppy. You haven't told the truth, so you must pay the consequences. Okay? Okay, Miss Ledbury?
Okay.
Ever heard Truth or Consequences before?
No, I haven't.
You haven't? Good, we got a girl! Bring her the stuff! Bring her out! Sit her down! Give her the gun! Give her the paddle! Give her the pie! We've got a convert tonight! Never heard Truth or Consequences before?
No!
Oh, sit her down! Good! You're gonna love this! Miss Ledbury... I want to explain the game to her. Sit down. It's a very simple little game.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, she's asking for it, isn't she? No, you don't sweep. Now, I'll tell you why you're seated here. It's a very simple little game. It's just like, oh, spin the bottle or push the guillotine or any of those little things. See?
Uh-huh.
All right, now, Miss Ledbury.
April shower may come your way.
Ossie Yolson was billed as the greatest entertainer of the 30s, but he was better known as Al Jolson. He hosted a show called Chateau, on which virtually every top Hollywood star appeared. With the release of the talkie movie The Jolson Story, Al Jolson became the most sought-after guest star in all radio.
This is Al Jolson calling from Korea, where I'm doing shows with Harry X. In places that, well, they don't mean anything to you, but their names are Pusan, Maesan, Jinhae, Mi-Yang, Daegu, and practically everywhere in Korea. You know, honey, I've performed for fighting men on battlefronts all over the world in World War II. But believe me, there's nothing to compare to this. This is no borderline skirmish. But real war with all the hell, death, and destruction that only war can bring. I wouldn't take $1 million for the smiles and laughs I've given to the tired, battle-weary faces of these American kids. And believe me, they are kids. I've done shows in forward areas with guns popping all around and tanks ready for action. I've played in hospital wards for men with torn, twisted bodies and have traveled hundreds of miles in deep helicopters, L-17s, B-47s, and walked miles on foot. I did one show, and this will kill you. I did one show for about 3,000 men from a stage built in a swimming pool. And you know what? They loved every minute of it. What a ham I am.
Those kids out there fighting and dying for the same ambition, to have peace and tolerance and democracy for the whole world. So as soon as I get a little better, I'm not so strong, I want to go back out there and sing for those kids. They promised me they'd fix it so I can sing this song. And by the song, I mean... Man!
The sunshine east, the sunshine west, I know where the sun shines best.
During the early days of radio, one suave gentleman was known as the Vagabond Lover. And during the 30s and 40s, well, he had quite a popular variety show. Now, I want you to hear something really unique. the only radio appearance of the three Barrymores together on one program. Lionel, John, and Diana Barrymore on the Rudy Vallee Show.
There's a royal treat in store for us tonight with three members of the theater's royal family in our midst. Diana, John, and Lionel Barrymore. Diana, it's nice to have you with us again.
Oh, it's nice to see you too, Rudy. Are you on Father's program every week?
Yes, you see, Father's program?
Yes. I think it's nice of Father to give a newcomer like you a chance.
Newcomer? Diana, I've been in radio since I got my first pair of long pants. This is the same Rudy Vallee.
And those are the same pants.
I'll overlook that.
Oh, we were only teasing, Rudy. I know you gave Father his start in radio. Actually, John Barrymore owes you a lot.
Why should I be an exception? Right, Lionel?
Right, Rudy.
You know, Uncle Lionel, Daddy has never told me which one of you was really the younger.
The younger? My dear child. Lionel was a young man when I got me first tooth. Yes, and I was still a young man when you got rid of your last one. Why, you...
Please, Daddy, Uncle Lionel. What business are you in, Uncle Lionel? What do you do?
What do I do? What? I do the same things your father does. Why, Lionel...
Diana, surely you've seen your Uncle Lionel in pictures. Don't you go to movies?
Oh, I only see a movie when Father is the star.
Oh, then you don't know about talkies.
Well, anyhow, I'm proud of my father. And I'd like to know how I can best follow in his footsteps.
Well, do what the sheriff does. Get a bloodhound. Now, look here, Brother Scrooge.
At ease, gentlemen. No fighting. I've invited you all here to act in a play that I've written.
Say, I think it would be fun for all of us to act in a play together, especially the one that Rudy wrote. I bet it's wonderful.
Oh, it's nothing that Shakespeare couldn't do as well. If he were alive.
He could probably do as well the way he is.
No doubt, Rudy, you've cast a great profile in the leading role.
Well,
if you have, you can count me out of your
clan. Well, really,
of course, if the woman's role isn't the most important, I wouldn't consider it.
Well, heaven help a valley on a night like this.
Ah, the three Barrymores on Broadway. I can see our name in lights outside the theater. John Barrymore and company.
And company? Me play a supporting role?
Now, Lionel, you know I'm the star of this family. You've always supported me on the stage.
On the stage, he says.
After all, what difference does it make whose name comes first? Let's feature both Barrymore brothers and star Diana Barrymore.
The girl's a chip off the old block.
You mean a slice off the old ham.
We all know Danny Thomas does the commercials for Instant Maxwell House, but do you remember when Maxwell House Coffee sponsored George Burns and Gracie Allen? They started in radio in 1932 and were one of the few teams to move into television and continued to maintain their success.
As the new half century gets underway, the favorite pastime seems to be choosing the outstanding men of the last half century. Magazines and newspapers have published their selections, but Gracie seems to think one important name has been omitted.
Thomas Edison, Winston Churchill. How can they pick men like that to head the list?
I'm interested to know, Gracie, who's your choice?
Need you ask, George? I'm thinking of a man whose glorious romantic voice has thrilled millions.
The birds are sweetly singing and perfume flowers are bringing in the wind.
A man whose charm and talent are world famous.
Gracie, this is getting embarrassing.
Only one man should top this list, Charles Boyer.
Charles Boyer?
Mm-hmm.
You put him ahead of Edison?
Yep.
Edison invented electric lights.
With Boyer, who needs them?
Tracy, there's some pretty great men on this list.
Not as great as Boyer. But look at these names. Arturo Toscanini, conductor. How do you like that? A man who punches transfers.
He happens to be a musical conductor.
All right, so he hums while he punches transfers.
Dardanella.
And here's another one, Einstein. Now, what did he do?
Einstein?
Yes.
What did he do?
Uh-huh.
He's the father of relativity.
Oh, what does she do?
Relativity Einstein?
Yes.
She's with Warner Brothers.
You know, Gracie, for a minute there, instead of Boy A, I thought that you thought that I belonged on that list of great men.
Oh, well, you see, George, you're my husband, and I don't think of you as a man.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, I don't think of you as a man who does anything.
Thanks again.
I mean, I don't think of you as a man who does anything romantic.
A triple thanks and stop thinking about it.
Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis are both popular entertainers in their own right. Nobody will argue that. But in the late 40s and early 50s, they were the nation's number one comedy team. What you're going to listen to now is a real collector's item. It's their first radio show for NBC, recorded December 22nd, 1948.
Go into the studio here, Terry.
Gee, look at all the people in here, Dean. I'm scared.
Ah, don't get nervous, Jerry. You remember what I told you?
Sure, I know. I remember, Dean. Fight, 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 fight.
What's the matter?
I'm out of training.
Here's Dean Martin. I'm your producer, Mr. Martin.
I'm your director, Mr. Martin.
I'm your band leader, Mr. Martin.
I'm your singer, Mr. Martin.
I'm your producer, Mr. Martin. I'm your director, Mr. Martin.
I'm your leader, Mr. Martin.
I'm your singer, Mr. Martin. What am I, the Larry Parks of this outfit?
Be quiet, Jerry. I gotta rehearse.
Oh, now I gotta be quiet. You're a big star. A big man. I'll never forget you, Dean. You go on without me. And good luck, old pal. I won't ever be jealous of your success. When you're a big star and run over me in your big imported car, I'll still be happy. I'll just lay there and think, gee, Vogue tires. Well, I'll go now. You people don't want me here. I'll be seeing you.
Oh, poor Jerry. Why do you let him go away like that?
Oh, Jerry will be all right. And now we'd like to present one of Hollywood's most glamorous stars, soon to be seen in Sorrowful Jones, a charming actress who gracefully combines the talents of leading lady and comedian...
Now, listen here, you Dean Martin. Don't you say anything nice about me, you bully, you monster. I'll have you know that just
wait
every
time... Wait a minute. Why, you are Lucille Ball. You're Lucille Ball, but what's the matter?
Don't act like you don't know. And you've got some nerve asking me to come down here and be a guest on your radio program when you treat that darling, cute, lammy pie Jerry Lewis like you do.
Me?
Yes, you, Dean Martin.
Jerry, where'd you go?
He's behind me where he'll be safe. He's not going to stay out here where you can knock him down again.
Knock him down?
Yes, and kicking him and throwing dirt in his face and trying to drive your car over him.
I did that?
See, Lucille, admit it.
Oh, I get it. Jerry told you that story.
Yes, he did.
Yes, I did. You see, Dean Martin, I got someone on my side now. Go ahead, Lucille. Don't let him talk to me like that. Tell him more.
I never met anyone so contemptible in my life. How could you treat Jerry that way? He's so darling and so cute.
You forgot Lammy Pie.
Just exactly what did Jerry tell you I did to him?
He told me the whole story. It's incredible to me that you could pick on a little fellow like that. When you have such a grand physique, and I mean, when you're so much bigger than he is, with all those great, big, powerful muscles and...
Yes?
And the things you called him. It's hard to imagine names like that being spoken by you. You, when you have that wonderful, soft, caressing voice.
Yes?
Haven't you?
Lucille. Hey, Lucille.
Stop tugging at my skirt.
I just wanted you to know I'm still here. Lewis is the name. Jerry Lewis, they call me. Go ahead, give him what for.
Yes, you're right. Dean Martin, how could you have slugged poor Jerry when you look so handsome with those soft eyes and those long, long lashes?
Yes?
Hey, Lucille.
Shut up, you little schnook.
Schnook! Me! Schnook!
The idea of telling those awful fibs about this darling, cute, lammy pie Dean Martin. I ought to turn you over my knee and spank you.
Dean.
Yeah?
Dean, please straighten Lucille out. Tell her I'm not really so bad.
Oh, he isn't bad at all, Lucille. In fact, he's a very nice guy. In fact, He's a wonderful guy. Why, Jerry's the important half of our act. He's the talent. Why, he's the one who gets all the laughs. He's the one the critics rave about. He's the one the people love.
Oh, what a ham.